morning, everybody. Welcome again to St. Mark's. For those who don't know me, I'm Andrew and I'm the minister here. Today, I've got a big question. And if you were here last week, you know that over the holidays we are dipping into a couple of our big questions for the year. This year I've invited people in the congregation to share with me some of the big questions that you have about Christianity or the Bible or about God, because I think it's good together to think sometimes about how we answer these kind of things. So if you do have any more ongoing questions, please feel free to let me know. A big question, which I talked about last week, is basically a topic that needs a bit more study and different types of thinking to bring it together than a normal sermon that we might do. And then a big question is often something that relates to a lot of our practical life as Christians. That's why it's good to look at it. So last week, if you were here, you know, we looked at the question, what is the Trinity? And this week, we're looking at the question, how should we apply the Old Testament laws? So thank you to Alan. This was your question, I think. Yes, well done. So hopefully answer it today. Now, this is a common question that people ask, particularly if after they're getting into their faith for a while, they're starting to read the Bible. And it has a lot of implications for Christians and for how we live as churches. So it's worth a look at today. And I think the best way perhaps to start to appreciate the reason for why this is a big question might be to look at an example of one of the laws in the Old Testament that might puzzle us. Now, you may not know this, but there are rules in the Bible about how to clean mould out of your house. Did you know that? No, there you go. You learn something new every day. In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 33 to 53, there are quite detailed instructions of how to deal with a mould outbreak in your home. And it's actually one of the priest's jobs in the law to help with the process of cleaning the mould out. And I'm very glad I've never been asked by anyone to do that. And please don't ask me now. Don't start. You'll see why later. There are lots of other laws in the Old Testament, if you take the time to read it, that might strike you as the same, you know, a bit strange or irrelevant. And maybe even some of them are offensive to us. And we have no idea how we could or should apply them to our lives today, even if we wanted to. Now, I do assure you the mould laws actually do make sense in their context. That's not the answer to today. Maybe another day we'll look at that. But in our context, it's quite hard for us to understand what it's about. So as we answer this question, let's take a step back first and ask, what is the law when we say that, the Old Testament law? If you're here today or you're listening online, you might not be familiar with this particular aspect of the Bible. So, just so we understand, the Old Testament, as we say, it's of course the scriptures or the sacred writings of the Jewish people before the time of Jesus. And Christians believe that they're also to be read and followed in some way after Jesus as well. And this is compared to the New Testament, which is the stories about Jesus himself and the writings of his apostles and his other followers after him. So in the Old Testament, there are quite a lot of different types of writings. So the major different types are, there's the law, there's what we call the prophets, there are books of history, we looked at one of them recently in Joshua, and there are books of wisdom and also some poetry. Now what we call the law is what Jewish communities call sometimes the Torah, and that regard is the first five books of the Bible, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. And these books tell the story of the formation of the nation of Israel and the laws that were given to Moses and the Israelites as part of their covenant with God. And the most famous part of the Torah, most people know or know of, is of course the Ten Commandments. You can tell me after how many of them you remember. It's a good little test. And within the Torah, within the law, there are different types of laws that relate to different parts of the life of the Israelite community. So there are what we would call moral laws or laws about right behaviour, the kind of things that become offences or crimes under the law. There are also laws of more sort of criminal and civil procedure, you know, so basically how we do the administration of government and social life. And there are many, many laws about religious matters, about the ceremonies of worship and sacrifice and how to live a proper religious life before God. And so the laws about mould cleaning actually are part of those laws as far as I can see. So the Torah is actually something, of course, that's been highly venerated by the Jewish people over the centuries. And many of the religious leaders after Moses, they based their traditions and teachings on the interpretation and elaboration of these laws to help people follow God better. Sorry. And that continues to this day. And this focus on the law and keeping the law of Moses well was something that was a really important matter of debate in the time of Jesus. And there were those people at the time who believed that if the Jewish people could only keep the law perfectly or as well as they needed to, then God would fulfill the blessings of his covenant or promises with them and they might be set free from the rule of the Roman Empire over them. And these people are known in the Gospels as the Pharisees. And you know that name. And we know that Jesus had conflicts with these people because his own attitude to the law was quite a bit more relaxed than theirs was, as we'll think about in a minute. So having sort of had that preamble, I think we're at the point now where we can understand why this question of the law is a big question for Christians. And I think there are two main reasons why. One of them, which is about society, about culture, and the other one is about our theology, our understanding of God. So the fact is that very early on, after the time of Jesus, Christianity quickly spread into what are called the Gentile nations, that is the non-Jewish people in the nations around Israel. And these people, be they Greeks or Romans or Australians, were not people living under the Old Testament covenant with God, and they didn't have a tradition of obeying these laws. But they were being invited to believe in the gospel and to follow Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. And so the question arose very early about what to what extent do these Gentile believers need to keep the law of Moses? In the book of Acts, for instance, in chapter 15, we read about what is called the Council of Jerusalem, where the apostles and the early Christian leaders, they argued about this question. How much do Christians need to keep the law? And the theological point behind this seemed to be that what Jesus has done and the way he taught his people was a new thing. And it seemed to downplay the importance of the law of Moses and the whole system around it in favour of this more open, simple spiritual path that anyone could follow. And Jesus seemed to be saying and demonstrating that in some way the law was not necessary in the same way anymore because he had fulfilled the purpose for which it was given. But the law still existed, it's still there, it's still part of the scriptures, and it's something to be read and appreciated for Christian people. And so over the centuries, Christians have tended to take, I think, three basic or different approaches to the law and how it should apply to us today. Some people will reject it completely and say that it has no relevance at all to modern life, even to the point of saying it should be cut out of the Bible because they see it as being actively unhelpful or bad. There was a famous Christian leader, a man named Marcion, who made that claim in the 2nd century AD. And later on, the Protestant reformer Martin Luther himself got very close to that opinion at various times. So some Christians of this kind have argued that, you know, we live entirely by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit now. We don't need any laws at all. That's the first approach. We reject the law. The second approach has been to say, we actually do need to keep it and follow it as much as possible as we can in our lives today, in fact, shaping our lives around it. And you find that kind of approach, in some sense, in some parts of the Eastern Orthodox churches, for instance, in the Ethiopian church, and also in some modern movements in places like the US, for example. Everything happens in the United States. Of various kinds, people who want the Old Testament law to actually be the law of the land again. So most Christians, however, have taken a kind of middle ground on this question of selecting and interpreting the law in ways that seem to make sense for their context and keep parts of it without rejecting it altogether. And the Anglican Church, of which we're a part, has had this kind of approach. I want to read to you from one of the Articles of Religion of the Church of England. I know you love it when I do that. Article 7, now this is called of the Old Testament, and it talks about our attitude to the Old Testament. And initially it says, the Old and the New Testaments are not opposed to each other. And then there's a quote that says, although the law given from God by Moses as touching ceremonies and rites do not bind Christian men, nor the civil precepts thereof ought of necessity to be received in any commonwealth, yet notwithstanding, no Christian man whatsoever is free from the obedience of the commandments, which are called moral. Now, I'm sure that's very clear to everyone what they're trying to say. Basically, what they're trying to say is that Christians should... You can move back, sorry, Trevor. Basically, that's saying that Christians should keep the elements of the law that are related to their moral behaviour that still hold today, but we don't need to do any of the Old Testament-style worship or set up our nation with the same legal structure as the Israelites did. That's what that's saying. There's still a question, of course, about, well, what exactly are these commandments which are called moral? Which are the moral commandments, and what a part of them is moral? And what do they mean? And that keeps theologians employed and off the streets, which is good. So what should our attitude then to the law and the Old Testament would be if we're going to take some of these three? So I'm going to give you my interpretation and some thoughts about how we apply these things in practice to our lives today. You might just leave that one up. I think I've missed a slide, Trevor. That's fine. So I think that the basic message that we get from the New Testament, both from Jesus himself and from the apostles, is that we should see any kind of law that we see in the Bible as a preparation. It's something that's meant to allow us to properly understand and experience the presence of God in our lives. The goal of Christian faith, as we know, is to enter into what we call the kingdom of God, which is a sphere of spiritual freedom, of direct encounter with God's Spirit, and the life of love and action that flows from that encounter with God. And when someone lives that way, in that life with God, then laws, in one sense, become irrelevant. Because, not because you can do whatever you want, but because what you want to do is what God intends you to do. So laws and rules and structures are a kind of training regime or a boundary system to help people move forward towards that state without falling off the path along the way. The Apostle Paul talks in depth about this idea in his letter to the Galatians. And in chapters 3 and 4 of Galatians, he talks about the topic of faith versus doing the works of the law. And his argument in this passage is that the law of Moses was like a tutor or the custodian of a child, who keeps them under discipline and training until they're ready to enter into adult life. So he says in chapter 3, verse 23 to 27, he says, "Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." So the point is that the law is not a bad thing. It shouldn't be rejected. It's not to be abolished. And that's what Jesus affirmed in our reading from Matthew 5 today. But the law itself is not the goal of our lives or our story as children of God. The point of the Christian life is not to keep the law. The point is to know God as our Father and to live as his children and to be filled with his Spirit. Any laws or commands that we have are meant to provide a guidance or framework along that goal. And so that's why Jesus, I think, was well known in his day for such things as healing people on the Sabbath, which the Pharisees considered to be against the law, breaking the law of Moses that forbids work on the Sabbath day. But Jesus told them, no, the point of the laws like the Sabbath is so that people can be healed by God and experience his presence, his love. And so the goal where we're going is more important than the rules we have on the journey. And so in practice, the question is, should we keep the laws of the Old Testament today? Should we apply them to ourselves? Well, I think it is clear that there needs to be a framework in our life or a way of living that keeps us on a path towards a deeper experience of God. And that includes moral and decent behaviour that shows love for ourselves and for other people. It includes disciplines of life that invite God's grace to work in us. So things like worship, things like generosity and giving, other spiritual activities that draw into the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And that, so the way that we live does matter. But I think where we're headed matters more. And from the Bible, including the Old Testament law, what we take is what's necessary for that process to be fulfilled. That's why we don't talk about the old laws today, because that's not necessary in this stage for us to do. My personal opinion is that Christians should be, in practice, quite hesitant about trying to enforce any of the Old Testament laws in our society or being strict about applying to each other in the church. I think that a secular society is actually the safest place for a Christian spirituality to truly develop. And people should be drawn freely into following Jesus from their hearts rather than having lots of rules and laws placed on them, on their behaviour from the outside. We know that doesn't work. But in our own personal life, we should be conscientious about doing what's right and what brings us close to God. And I think, Jesus actually answered this question in a very helpful way when he was asked it. And we can read about this in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 37. So one of the Pharisees asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And so Jesus replied, you can see there, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And I think that's about as good an answer as you could get to your question, how do we apply the law to us today? That's what you do. And so that's our big question for today, and it's worth to keep talking about this. I'm sure there are lots of other questions about it, and you'll want to know the specific mould procedure. It's quite involved, and there's a lot of plaster work involved. It's quite, we can get into it though. But as you see, I think this is a topic worth exploring for yourself further and thinking about, what do you think when you read the Old Testament? How do you apply it to yourself? So I'm going to finish today with a further quote from Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. It encourages us to know the answer to this question for ourselves and to live it out. So Paul says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir." Let me pray, and then we're going to sing, I believe, about our response to God's revelation of himself to us. So let's pray this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us in many and various ways, and one of those is through laws that were designed to guide your people into the knowledge of your ways and your life. And we pray that we in our own hearts would know the way that we are to follow, that we would love you with all our heart, mind, and soul and strength, and we would love our neighbours as ourselves. We pray that in all questions we would direct that to them to you, and you would guide us in you with your understanding and wisdom about how to live the way that we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.